I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Do you know where the most amazing doctor lives? You may be surprised to learn that it's actually right inside of you. Yet, today's healthcare model is built on a foundation that the greatest doctor instead comes in the form of pills, potions, lotions, even surgery. So listen in, because what if the majority of what you have been told about health and healing is not only wrong, but actually harmful to you? One thing is for sure. When you work with your body and not against it, you'll begin to discover that you are in fact designed to heal.
I want to welcome everybody to another episode of the Designed to Heal podcast. I am your host, Jeff, along with Dr. Ben Rall. Ben?
Yeah.
Got somebody on today that my wife can't wait to hear this show. She was very ecstatic that you got this thing rolled into play here. So what are you up to? What do you got going on, man?
Well, I am laughing a little bit because as you said that, my wife is also very excited. And then I realized we got two dudes here today talking about birth and birth control. And I'm like, we already disqualified ourselves. So,
but this is not the first time, man.
No,
like,
absolutely.
We've done this before. And I'm going, how do we always find ourselves in these situations?
Yeah.
And why aren't the wives hosting this thing
I'm wondering,
today?
Yeah, I'm wondering how many times today I'm going to put my foot in my mouth and say something stupid.
That's why they're allowing us to host right here, because this is fodder. So
no, we're very excited and lucky and honored to have Abby Epstein with us today. Many of you would know her through, well, there's a lot of ways you could know her, and I'll have her tell a little bit of her story, but how I really got introduced to her was many years ago. Gosh, what is it now? Is it 15, 16 years ago with the business of being born? And we had not had our first child yet, and that movie came on the scene. I was practicing chiropractic, and so that's kind of my world already. My world meaning natural and natural birth and things like this. So it was a really important film for us. Matter of fact, back then, we actually did a screening of that movie back in South Dakota where I lived at the time. And so that movie, I've probably recommended people, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people I've told to watch that movie, right? Just because of what it does. So we're super thankful for that. But there's another movie coming out that they have met her and Ricky Lake. Many of you from my generation will remember, you know, our generation, Ricky Lake and all that, right? And so that's awesome. But they did a new movie called The Business of Birth Control. And so that's what we're going to talk about primarily today. And actually, also, for the listeners and the local listeners, we're actually going to be bringing that movie to Orlando. We're going to be doing a viewing of the documentary, and then we're actually going to have Abby live with us doing a Q&A. So we're super excited about that. That's a long intro, Abby, but thank you for being on today.
Oh, my God, my pleasure.
Will you tell us a little bit of your background and, you know, with the business of being born and this movie and how that came about? And then I've got some things I want to talk about and some questions for you. So I'll let you take it from here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny, actually. My background was originally as a theater director, and I was directing a play called The Vagina Monologues, very apropos, where I met Ricky Lake, the fabulous Ricky Lake. And at the time, she was just about to have her second child at home. And so we just started becoming friends. She had the home birth. I kind of thought the whole thing was nuts. And then after the experience, she started talking to me about doing a project around it. And I had just sort of made my first documentary film and thought, okay, well, you know, I know how to make a documentary film now. Let me, you know, let's dig into this a little bit. And she just sort of opened me up to this world of midwifery and natural birth. And so we made that movie together back in 2008. And like, as you were saying, it's just become sort of an authority, you know, like the required film that all parents need to see before they give birth. And it's really evergreen. I mean, it's just like showed no signs of slowing up. It was very radical at the time. It's really hard to kind of look back and remember that, you know, 14 years ago, we would do these screenings and people would ask after the screening, like, what's a doula? That would be their first question, you know, which you can't imagine in 2022.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that then led to us making a whole series of films together. We did a follow-up series called More Business of Being Born. We did a film called Weed the People on medicinal cannabis and children with cancer. That can be found on Netflix. And then we started this project, The Business of Birth Control. We really started it about 6 or 7 years ago. And there's a book called Sweetening the Pill. And the author, Holly Griggs-Ball, I think they were just about to publish her book. And she mailed a galley to me and said, you know, I really feel like this would be in your wheelhouse. And based on, you know, the film you and Ricky made about childbirth, I just want to send you my book. So I read this book on the airplane from New York to LA, where Ricky lives, landed, like walked into Ricky's house and was like, I think this is our next movie. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it struck me, and I think what struck me about the book and about the topic is, you know, like most women, I've been on hormonal birth control for like almost a solid decade, and really knew nothing about it, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, really didn't understand much. And reading the book, I had like all these epiphanies. Like I started to make all these personal connections about my mental health, my physical health, my libido. I started to connect like my life experiences to this medication and realize how much it had potentially impacted me in certain ways without my knowing. And, you know, that kind of makes you nuts as a person and as a filmmaker. And I just, you know, so we just got into it, you know.
Let me ask you a couple questions because, and again, a man here, so forgive me, but it's like
I'm just watching.
Yeah, I know. You watch me kind of move in my seat, and I'm normally not at a loss for words, and I'm not afraid to go into any situation and chat, but. You know, being in the world I live in and kind of holistic healthcare and talking to patients, there were so many things in this documentary that were triggers for me in the sense that, for example, so many women don't even see birth control as a medication. So many of them, even the term hormonal birth control, like it just kind of like, and I mean, obviously you guys have a gift, Abby, in how you tell a story and how you do it with a documentary on an issue that is so, just on issues that maybe people didn't even think about like that. Was just almost this assumed, like, what do you mean? It's birth control. Everybody takes it. This kind of a thing. Now I've learned more about it. There was a little bit of a story in our life with my wife when we decided to try to start a family, that there was some detoxing that we had to go through because those chemicals have impacts. And so, but one thing I remember that was like one of my favorite lines ever. I probably use it once a week from just in general. And it's the quote from the movie, The Business of Being Born. And I think it was from, I'm probably going to say his name wrong. Is it O'Day? Is it
Michel Odon.
Yes, I know. I'm already, it's such a beautiful, like I love listening to him. But I think his line in the movie, one of his lines, and he said is, you know, when you've gone down a road the wrong way for so long, mm-hmm. right? And if you, the only reasonable thing to do is go all the way back to the beginning, right? Like if you go back halfway and you start again, you're still on the wrong road. I'm paraphrasing the way I remember his line. But with birth, I think it's that big wake-up moment where you realize birth is not a disease, right? Birth isn't a condition, right? Birth is natural. Birth is, we're designed for birth, that kind of a scenario. Now, are there things that happen? Are there complications that can arise? Absolutely. But that still doesn't make birth a disease. There's people that, you know, die eating chicken and they choke on a chicken bone. That doesn't mean everybody needs to eat their chicken, you know, under the supervision of a doctor. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when I thought about birth control and I was watching this movie, to me, it was somewhat similar in that we have just cornered or you know, the market share of the idea of birth control has a really wild history, and you guys do a good job. And I want you to talk about it because it's almost like I think so many women and maybe families, I'll just say as a man in the relationship with a wife, we just didn't think much about it. Do you mind kind of giving us a little bit of just history of birth control? Because it has a pretty, the pill specifically, because it has a crazy, you know, background, I think.
And it's a recent history, right? Oh, I mean, we're, relatively. What, 1960, I think, was the first?
60s, you know? Right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so this is very, very recent. Yeah, so.
Birth control in the form of hormonal birth control, again, just to clarify.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we give some history in the film and basically start with, you know, the idea of, Margaret Sanger, who was really, you know, the champion of creating this pill. I mean, she was the driving force behind it and, you know, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And, you know, we talk a little bit about this kind of, you know, racist history of the pill. One of the things is, you know, eugenics was a science that was very popular at the time. And Sanger, you know, did collaborate with eugenicists to sort of push the pill onto the market. And I think that history has recently been exposed and, you know, there's been transparency demanded and, you know, and I think that's really important because I don't think that, you know, women of color can trust an institution or a medication that at some point along the line, you know, was developed to essentially, you know, destroy their communities and to sort of, you know, limit their birth of certain undesirable people. And then the next, you know, beautiful step in the history of the birth control pill is that they tested it in Puerto Rico. So the FDA, you know, decided that they would go to Puerto Rico because, you know, this is where women were very poor and having a lot of babies and clamoring for some kind of fertility management. So they did this trial in Puerto Rico. And, you know, what we learned is that within the trial, there were five deaths. And this is five deaths out of, you know, it was like 130 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
One death was a suicide. You know, these were not only not investigated, but the women on the trial didn't even know the side effects. They weren't informed. Again, you know, then cut to putting this pill on the market. And in the 60s and 70s, you know, it's just getting sort of used and the numbers are going up and up and up and women are complaining of these very serious side effects. Very serious. And, you know, we're talking strokes, embolisms, and then things like depression, migraines. So finally, in the early 70s, which we show in the movie, there were some women from the sort of a feminist health movement that were successful in getting congressional trials on the pill. And turns out when all of these men took the stand, you know, no women were asked to testify. No one taking the pill was asked to testify. It was revealed that they knew about all these side effects. They knew about them when they put them on the market. So, you know, there's this history, I think, with birth control of, you know, using poor women and women of color as guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, a pretty well-documented history of this kind of manipulation of the pharmaceutical companies to hide or, you know, I would say, you know, write the side effect warnings in such crazy language, in such a ridiculous fold-out pamphlet that nobody can even decipher them. Yeah,
I don't think that's by accident, obviously. Right. And one thing was fascinating to me, I did not know this, that through the efforts of the group you were just talking about, that was what got the first ever label on a pharmaceutical drug was the pill, which I don't know why I didn't know that, but it kind of blew my mind. So, okay, so I think for even a listener, man or woman that's listening and just knowing kind of the impetus or the background somewhat to the pill is somewhat fascinating because I think we just think, I don't know, it's this, I don't know what we think. We often don't even think about it. We just go, I don't know, it's in this pretty little package and you know, the doctor gave it to me, it must be safe. And I think there's some very reasonable questions just to ask there. However, then I do want to get into we're kind of talking about the pill or again, hormonal birth control, NuvaRing pill, Yaz, these kinds of things where this, I really was, and I've read some birth control books over the years. I mean, I try to stay educated and been about these topics, but what a hormonal birth control does to your body on just a very basic level is fascinating and scary, actually, would be another word. I'm thinking about this kind of infographic thing that you guys have where it shows how basically, you know, using synthetic hormones, how it really hijacks your system, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not what you think it is. You're not even right. They call it what, withdrawal bleeding. Like it's not, you're not having a normal cycle. It's not like business as usual. This pill isn't smarter than the wisdom of your body that goes in and fixes things. Can you articulate that maybe better than I am? And maybe just how do you describe what the pill does versus what probably people think the pill does?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, look, like I said, even being on the pill for almost a decade, you know, I think we were all given this kind of explanation that was like, oh, it tricks your body into thinking it's pregnant so that you won't get pregnant again. That's sort of, you know, this very watered down explanation. And that's really not what's happening. You know, what's happening is that, yes, the pill is suppressing ovulation so that you're not releasing an egg. But the way that it does that is it essentially, you know, replaces your natural hormones. So what you would naturally produce, let's say, in the form of, you know, estrogen, progesterone, it essentially stops your ovaries from creating your own hormonal production and replaces those chemicals in the bloodstream. So the chemicals, right, are not identical in structure to natural hormones. Like progestin, which is what's in a birth control pill, does not have the same molecular structure as progesterone, which is a natural hormone that your ovaries produce. So because of this, you know, suppression, it's really a suppression of your own system. Pretty much every system in the body is affected. And that's why, you know, the side effects can be so far ranging as, you know, these mood side effects that we talk about in the movie, depression, anxiety, because obviously, you know, your sex hormones affect your brain. Right? I mean, hormones don't just sort of like stay in your uterus. I mean, they're all over your body. So that's why, you know, the side effects can range from like these mental health effects to all the way to, you know,
strokes,
inflammatory. Yeah. But things people don't know about, like UTIs,
diabetes, liver lesions, yeah, migraines.
Yes. Liver lesions.
It was so crazy. I just want to sit on this for a second because, again, just if you were described that, even in if a woman was described, I, as a man, I was thinking about it. Like, if you told me, hey, Ben, so here's what we're going to do to help, you know, lower your risk of pregnancy. I'm going to give you a pill that makes your, and I was just trying to think of a corollary. I don't know, but like your sperm will not, you know, work anymore. Or
no, stop. It would turn off your testosterone.
It would turn off your testosterone. Yeah. So don't worry, Ben. And so, yeah. But it's good. You won't be able to get somebody pregnant. Yeah. So, but that wouldn't fly for a millisecond. And by the way, if you tried to do that, you would, any logical person would say, that can't possibly be good for me. Mm. Like that can't be good for me. And so when I hear that, and I think about so many women I know that have been on birth control. We were one of those families that was on birth control, doesn't know what it's doing. And so, of course, women that try to get off it and get pregnant have a hard time.
Well, and it's funny. She said that the line, Abby, that you said that you were told that it just tricks your body into thinking that it's pregnant. Ben, is that not what you guys were sold?
Some version some of that, it's going right? to correct it. It's going to make, you know, I mean,
right. Which sounds so innocuous when you think about like, oh, that's cool, you know, kind of thing. That's no big deal, right?
But and also, like, don't forget all of, you know, the way the pill's been marketed, right, as a vanity pill, as a lifestyle drug. So it's not like you're not going to get pregnant, but your skin is going to clear up.
Mood,
you know, your
is gonna supposedly help your mood.
I was going to say, I know I have talked to people before that have said, yeah, I started taking that when I was 12, 13, 14 years old for skin, for all this other
for
stuff.
Acne.
Like, it's a magical fix-all for everything.
I've had a lot of women that I've met, and they'll I've learned this over time. Let's say I've been on the pill. I said, for how long? They say, well, I was 15, I was 12 or something like that. And I said, oh my gosh. I, you know, and I said, And my next question usually is now is, did you start menstruating on your own? And I've seen so many women that they actually were given the pill because they weren't menstruating. And you just think to yourself, again, why we have overlooked the basic question, like, why is your body not menstruating? Wow. Like, so I was thinking about this because so much with the movie, like, if you can see birth as normal, then your lens that you're going to approach birth is going to be very different if you see it as a medical disease. That's like a midwife birth or a doula birth. Their lens is, we know this is natural. A typical OBGYN approach is, this is a medical disaster waiting to kill mom and baby. I'm exaggerating here, but right. So they're looking for the problem. The other one goes, this is probably going to go okay. When we look at menstruation as natural, normal, important, needs to be there, part of the design. Now, that doesn't mean we understand it all. There's a lot of things we don't understand about the body and physiology right now, of course, and it will remain that way because it's amazing. But the fact that we thought we could trump that with a little pill that goes in, I think this is, you know, you talk about this, but the fact that we thought we could go in with a little pill and we could like overcome that inborn, innate, you know, incredible wisdom of the body is so blasphemous and prideful. Like, it's embarrassing that we thought we could do that, but we did. And then to think that women, especially in a women's lib kind of movement, in that era, I almost feel like, and again, this is probably the first time I put my foot in my mouth here. It's like they really duped you guys, right? Like almost like the opposite happened, right?
But Ben, it's very easy to see when you consider the times. It would be very easy to see how that could have happened. Go back to 50s and 60s and everything. You brought up the example before of testosterone, and like, great example that most people would look at today and go, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's insane. I mean, there's a lot now that we know and that is now mainstream information now today that we didn't have back in the 50s and 60s. And I would say that probably was one of those things of, you know, the magic pill comes along. And I mean, remember, we have
we had a study in Puerto Rico that killed 5 women out of 132.
But who saw it?
No, but that's my point. This is how things like this should never have even made it.
Agreed.
And then it does, and then the cat's out of the bag. So
the average person, though, they're looking at this, they don't know about the study, and they look at this and they go, oh, it's the miracle pill and everything, assuming, like for many of our people. Yeah. I mean, think about it, Ben. How many times have we done shows on subjects where, you know, people are just, their minds are blown to learn some of the things, some of the evils even, that people are doing out there, and they assume nobody would ever do something like that.
Well, so there's
this is another case.
So there's a scene in the movie, to your point, Jeff, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Abby. And this is where, I mean, I just get mad. Like, I don't know if you've ever done any of the Enneagram. Have you ever heard of the Enneagram, right? Like the personality profile. So I'm an 8, which is a challenger. So when I'm watching your movie, I'm like throwing stuff. I'm screaming at my phone. My wife's like, what are you watching? I was like, this is a birth control movie.
Abby gets mad too, but she makes documentaries. You just get mad.
I knew Abby was going to be fun when I was watching one of your Q&As, Abby, after the movie. And your opening line was like, I don't remember, but you threw the F-bomb out there like in the first minute. I was like, all right, we're going to have fun. She speaks my language here. But there's a scene in there, though, that, and I'll probably even get choked up thinking about it, where one of the mothers whose daughter was killed by this pill, she's testifying at, looks like, some sort of conference or something. And one of the medical Pfizer or whatever it was, right, was up there. She says, you know, there needs to be a warning on this that, you know, it can kill your child. And he starts to say something like, I can't imagine, you know, she asks, you know, if this was your child, how would you feel about, you know, the safety profile? He goes on to say, you know, well, I can't imagine. She interrupted him to put him in his place, saying exactly. Right. Yeah. But then he went on to say, and this was what was just sends chills down my spine, right? Where he goes, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he goes basically like, well, we think the safety profile of it is fine. We think the warning is fine. Sorry, you know, I mean, it's too bad she died, but we think it still benefit outweighs the risk, or some version of garbage that came out of this gentleman's mouth. And so I think one thing that blew my mind was what, you know, you guys talk about it in the movie, this idea of safe. And the definition of that really didn't include the woman taking it. Right. They just make up their own definition of, we think it's safe enough. It kills some people. It destroys their lives. It destroys their health. But we're good with it. And it's so like mind blowing. What would, for you, as you were digging through this and learning, I can't imagine as a woman, and then also a woman that had been taking that, like, where, what was going on with you just personally as you're learning this?
Yeah, it's really, really hard. I mean, I feel for all those families in the movie and families that we met that aren't in the movie that lost daughters to these pulmonary embolisms and strokes from the pill. And then, you know, there are so many other stories, you guys, that aren't in the movie about women who survived but are living, you know, with disabilities now for the rest of their lives. You know, women who have strokes, who are paralyzed or who are on blood thinners now and can't have children. So, you know, and it's funny because we sort of get accused of like, oh, I can't believe, you know, you're showing these stories out of context, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's such a small, small, you know, risk. Okay. But first of all, let me just say something about context. Every time we do a post about this movie, we get dozens of comments of people saying, oh, I had a blood clot. I had a stroke. You know, I know, I'm sure you saw Hailey Bieber just came out a few weeks ago and said she had a mini stroke because, you know, of the pill. And, you know, I think that when there are these class action lawsuits, there are these gag orders, okay? So you're never hearing these stories. Mm-hmm. And nobody is really counting, right? So we don't really know the numbers, but one of the dads in the movie, he dug really deep in the research. And the number he came up with was that 300 to 600 women die in, you know, in this country per year from these side effects. And, you know, he equates it to like, you know, two airplanes going down.
Okay.
And he's like, if two airplanes went down every year, you know, filled with young, healthy women. I mean, so it's really hard to talk about, you know, like the fatal events. But I think that what I was told when I was taking it, okay, is that you were only at risk of like, you know, a stroke or something like that, or a blood clot, if you were obese or if you smoked.
Yeah.
Okay. None of these girls that passed away had any of those pre-existing conditions. They were all healthy, non-smokers, not obese, no clotting disorders.
Young. Yeah, most of them, they're young girls, yeah.
Yes, and it's like, and so that's the thing that's, you know, none of these cases can ever get to court. The mom that you mentioned in that one scene, I mean, I hate to get even darker here, but she ended up committing suicide while we were filming the movie. She just, you know,
I saw at the
and
end
I think
that it was tributed. She was part of the tribute.
Yeah.
I didn't know how she passed.
Yeah. She couldn't live with the pain anymore. And I think part of it was that she tried to get justice through our court system and through the FDA and lawyers. Like, she just tried so hard, you know, to hold the drug companies responsible and to let other people know that this danger, it could exist for their child. And she just couldn't get anywhere. You know, I mean, you just can't take on, you know, you can't, there's no way to run these lawsuits. So
I think you brought something up that is also kind of fascinating. Just whether even we say, you know, 300-600 women a year that die, which is incredible, let alone the collateral damage, the people that, of course, their family members, but also the people that you said, like you said, that don't die, that just have life-altering disabilities, or they have hormonal challenges for the rest of their life because their hormones have been jacked up and all of these things. But there's kind of the elephant in the room here, or part of the elephant in the room is it isn't, you know, menstruation is not a disease, right? Like there's, and that's why I'm so glad you guys kept saying hormonal, you know, hormonal birth control. And matter of fact, and I do want to just touch on this and apologize for jumping back. They talk about, you know, because I think this was fascinating to me. Honestly, I did not know this. They call it withdrawal bleeding. So when women think they're, quote, menstruating on the pill, it's not what would have happened naturally. Right?
That's right.
It's not, you didn't pass an egg that was, you know, those walls are sloughing off, yada, yada. Like, it's a different situation. It's not the same thing, which that right there to me was like every red flag I can imagine. And so, I mean, is that, did I say that somewhat correctly?
Right.
How you call withdrawal bleeding?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, so basically when they designed the pill originally, you know, they didn't have that bleed in there. Okay. So women,
it was just basically going to be never, you just never.
That's right. You just never got a period. You just took a pill every day. Now, the church, this is part rumor. I don't know how true this is, but one thing is I heard that it made women too nervous because they just thought they're pregnant if they didn't have a period.
Interesting.
And then the church sort of demanded to be comfortable with like endorsing this. They want it. Wow. So, but it, you know, the fact that you take like 21 days of pills or whatever it is, and then a week off for the bleed is so arbitrary. And as you know,
You know, it's so funny though, Abby. They like
could take for a year now.
They like met. I'm just kind of blowing my mind listening to this because, like, it just so, to a woman, you go, "Oh, that's like you were talking. It's kind of normal. It's I'm having the perfect cycle. I 21 days have menstruate for a few. I'm back and like, but it's literally like a fake out. Like it's not.
It's
not what happened.
Okay, so Abby, you're saying, let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly, because I'm now getting my mind blown because you knew something, Ben, that I didn't hear. Okay, you're telling me that you take the pills for the 21 days, 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You come off these things. The bleeding that happens there for a woman is not menstrual bleeding at all. It's some kind of response of the body. And you're telling me that there are now pills that can go for a year and not, you know, between those intervals, that kind of thing. Is that what you're telling me here?
Yeah, like I think we don't talk about the movie, but we show the commercial, like Seasonique and Annual, one period a year.
Oh my goodness.
What is their line even in there, Abby? It says something like crazy, like it's almost unbelievable. It's like, you don't need a period. Like it's, I think that's their line.
Oh, no, yes. And I would say that there are a lot of health professionals that back that. And, you know, we've sort of had this funny little, it's not that funny, but this little kind of social media war going on where there are some like doctors on social media that are arguing this, that are literally going on and saying, oh, absolutely. Like the chemical, you know, the dropping chemicals mimics your own drop in progesterone. And so it's really the same thing. And then, you know, you have like the naturopaths and the hormonal health coaches saying, you know, it is not the same thing. And so you end up with these two versions of truth in a way. And it's kind of like, you know, I believe, you know, there's this very, you know, kind of, and we've experienced this with the business of being born too. You know, I think within, you know, certain types of OBGYN community, they are really trained to think a certain way. And, you know, they are receiving a lot of information and marketing materials from these drug companies directly, you know, and they're absorbing that. And so, you know, they're really resistant to looking at anything from a more functional, you know, perspective. And I think that to say, you know, and that's also the whole joke of how many girls go on the pill to regulate their cycle. There's nothing true about that.
Yeah.
You're not regulating your cycle when you're going on a hormonal birth control or a oral contraceptive. You're basically eliminating it. And that's why women who have really bad cycle problems, right? Like endometriosis or PCOS, super painful periods. Yeah. This really helps them. This is why it's like a miracle cure for them, the pill, you know, because it just turns all of that off, you know, so their underlying hormonal imbalance is not getting addressed,
right?
You know, but the symptoms are being suppressed. And again, this to me goes to the fact that because we've had the pill to treat all of these cycle issues, you know, no research is getting done. And I think what happens a lot of times is most, you know, mothers, if they have a teenage daughter and she's in bed, you know, two days a month, but they don't know what else to do, right? And you take your teenage daughter to the gynecologist and they say, oh, you know, we've got to put her on the pill. This'll solve everything. And it does for the moment. But, you know, if she has PCOS, it sure doesn't do any healing. And you know, it's temporary. It's
Abby,
a band-aid.
Abby, I want to ask you something here. How many of these OBs and the doctors that have spoken to this process, like I part of this was just me being snide and sarcastic, I hear, but I'm like, I bet they were men, or I bet that the majority of them have not had babies themselves. like that you're seeing in this world, in this school of thought? I mean, that may be look, I always know there's exceptions to the rule, but is there some, and the reason that I'm going down this road here is because, ironically, my wife works as a postpartum doula and a lactation consultant. All right. And we have five and have had, you know, the natural experience with a lot of things, learned a lot in the process. In fact, that's kind of even part of the way that Ben and I are friends, because we've been on, you know, a journey that kind of led us to people like Ben. Right. Mm-hmm. And I find myself all the time when my wife is working with clients, she's telling me stories constantly of people that their team is working with that have had some of the quote unquote hospital advice. Okay. Again, this is not a blanket, you know, knock at, you know, the hospital way of thinking, quote unquote, but it's, you know, they give advice, whether it's on birth or lactation or whatever. I'm finding myself more and more giving the answers. Oh, they need to be doing this. Like saying things, telling, almost becoming like my own lactation consultant here, because my wife has schooled me on so much stuff or birth or whatever the case may be. But I look at it and I go, it's just common sense. And more often than not, I then ask my wife, I said, well, the person that they worked with, and she'll stop me right there, and she'll say, well, they're not a mom, or it's a man, or it's or whatever. Like, in other words, they haven't had the experience of being in touch with their body in a way that is natural, probably, and which goes back to, then I want to ask the question, so I want you to kind of touch on this too, but then tell me Ricky's story, Ricky Lake's story. Like, how did she get into that? She's in Hollywood. She's in the entertainment business. How on earth, right, does she get into the mindset of natural birthing? I mean, that's I wouldn't think that would be a normal progression for her. So can you touch on that idea of men versus, or maybe some of these people are not moms or whatever, and then how, you know, that's a lot of stuff there, but I'd love for you to address that if you could.
Yeah, no, sure. I'm happy to. I think, you know, what jumps to mind with what you asked is really this idea of gaslighting. And you know, I think that gaslighting, it's gotten some attention recently, medical gaslighting, and, you know, they've come out and said, oh yes, you know, women are gaslighted more than men, and women of color especially. But I think, you know, there, to me, I haven't really seen sort of like a gender, you know, issue. I think that a lot of OBGYNs are women now, and they're trained in a very kind of patriarchal school of medicine that I believe is steeped in misogyny from the beginning. And I think that they've internalized a lot of that. And what's really disheartening, you know, as you say, is when you're a person who's experienced, you know, whether it's mistreatment or if you've experienced really, really, you know, debilitating, let's say, side effects from hormonal birth control, and somebody is shutting you down and saying, well, there's no studies to back up anything you're saying, and the pill doesn't do that. I mean, this is what we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think what's even more disheartening is since we've come out with this film, it's almost like we've seen people that are even posing to be like feminist health educators sort of gaslighting the film and gaslighting, you know, all the people's experience and the personal stories in the film. And so it's, you know, that piece of it I find is, you know, look, it's like the same thing I think with birth. It's like, you know your truth in your body, you know, and it's like, I know what I experienced when I was taking the pill. I know things that happened to me. I know when I went back to my female gynecologist and complained about certain things and was told to just try a different brand, or, you know, kind of swept under the rug. It's like, there
put on,
are too
a,
many
put on
millions.
Another medication, put on another
yes,
drug for
like,
the side effect.
Exactly. Like, there's too many millions of women out there who are validated by this movie, who sort of get on a, especially I will say women under 30, not to be ageist, but I'll say like from millennials down to Gen Z, they're pretty savvy to sort of peeling back the onion on like marketing and, you know, big pharma, and, you know, they pretty much like to do their own research, and
which is so good, you know, by the way, because that generation also has probably less and less of generational influence, like the good kind.
Yes.
You know, like they don't have somebody to talk to, right? That you know, maybe or in many cases that can tell them, hey, this is natural, this is normal. And if they don't have that person saying, You know, this is normal that your body is doing that. So for them to be doing critical thinking is actually quite encouraging.
Well, I remember seeing, and I was thinking back to, I'm having all these flashbacks to Business of Being Born, and I feel like I remember this scene where you're interviewing a typical kind of OB, and I think the question was something like, how many natural births have you seen?
Yes.
And I think that she, or he, I think it was a she said, I don't think I have.
But it, was. Could they even define that?
But it was so telling. And then I'm thinking about, we had a home birth with my son, and we had a midwife, and where I was at the time in South Dakota, home birth was illegal in the sense that they wouldn't allow you to have a midwife attended home birth. It was considered illegal. So we had to drive across the border into another state to a woman who opened her farmhouse to a midwife so my son could be born in a farmhouse in Minnesota. And, you know, this is not like in the 1800s. Like, this is, my son is 12 years old. And I was thinking, like,
but Abby, there was no room for them in that inn. And so so they had to go out to the manger out back. And that's where,
Oh my God.
But when the same thought process as I'm thinking, because, and I want to move maybe as we kind of get you know, into this show here, there's another story that I think that I want to talk about, which is, and it, you know, reminded me, like, because the movie is pretty, again, I want to say this right way here, I'm dancing around it here, right? There's some scenes in the movie where you are certainly trying to help women not be afraid of their bodies, right?
Right.
I mean, there's some, you know, when we bring you to town, I'll have to let people know if they want to bring their kids, right? You know, because there's some, you know, nudity in there, whatever you want to call it. But it's like the first time, right, as now being a dad and a dad of breastfeeding mom, wife, and all that, like, you know, it's like the first time you saw somebody breastfeeding. Like, but I bring this up because it's, you know, there's been people right over the years even like that say like breastfeeding is disgusting, right? Like, you shouldn't do that in public, right? Or however it's told. So the fact that women in some ways have almost been told that their body is, I don't know what the right word is. You would know the word, whether it's an enemy or it's weird or it's taboo or it's nothing, right? And
broken,
right? Or it needs to be managed medically by some, you know, synthetic pill.
You're talking
pill.
Even policies, like stores, restaurants that have said, you can't do this here because it's disgusting. It makes us uncomfortable.
So now when you know, because there's a whole different approach, because I think the question that maybe be coming into a lot of people that are listening to this, even holistic, natural people, which is a lot of our listening audience, are going, oh my gosh, I didn't know this. I don't want to be on the pill anymore, but I also don't want, and then you're right, XYZ, right? You know, I don't want to get pregnant, or I don't want the symptoms I used to have with this and that. And the pills kind of seem to help me, or it did regulate my period. But there's a whole nother world out there, right? Like, this isn't just like throw the pill in the garbage and do your thing. This is like, let's start to learn about our bodies. Let's start to learn about how they are designed. Our show called Designed to Heal. Like, it's not an accident how our bodies are designed. So you guys do a good job kind of in that second, you know, half or third of the movie where it's like, you know, there is options out there to help you, you know, manage fertility. We were an NFP family ourselves. That's kind of how we did it. And, you know, we took the precautions. And sure, it was a learning curve. Sure, it was a little, like, different for us and what we were used to, right? Like, no doubt about it. But, like, come on. We're adults here. We can grow up. We can.
Ben, as a disclaimer, though, we were an NFP family, too, and we didn't take the precaution five times. Yeah. So, therefore, the minivan is full. So, make sure you know what you're doing on that one.
But I think
we... Still big believers in it, though.
Well, it works both ways.
Try to recover it after that one, Ben.
It helps you also create your family. It's called family planning. It's not just not having babies.
Well, you know.
So, there is, I don't even want to say there's hope, but I do want to think women that have been raised to look at their bodies as bad or broken or dangerous or whatever, right? And there's this thing that needs to happen where, and you do a great example with the TIA clinic, right, of just showing a different model of how, you know, women's health care can be. And there's a line in there. It's the last thing I'll say, and then Abby, take it from here. There's a line in there where they're interviewing, I don't remember the woman, and she was at it. She goes, I go to all these conferences, and this to me was like a highlight for me in the movie in a positive way, was she goes, I go to this seminars and it's, you know, women's health. And she said, it's two things. Usually it's either talking about abortion or it's talking about birth control.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she goes, what about wellness? What about, you know, caring for my body naturally? There's a lot of things outside of those two words that doesn't get talked about. Right.
Yeah.
And so Do you mind going into, I'm not asking you to doctor over the airwaves here. I just mean, there are, I mean, the Daisy thing, there's a lot of things that are out there. You just might've never heard about them, right? Because all you thought was the pill. So do you mind kind of taking us to like the good news side of this, you know?
Yeah, there is good news. And also I didn't mean to want to skip over the Ricky Lake question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And I want to just say that quickly, you know, but that I do think that, that Ricky got interested because she heard really positive birth stories from other women who had used midwives and been in a birth center. And those positive stories, you know, really resonated with her. And she thought, oh, you know, that's how I want my birth to be. You know, like I want to experience that. And, you know, which kind of leads into your next question, right? Because it is really, I think, how most women and teenage girls, a lot of us, you know, make decisions based on peers. These are things that you talk about, you know, with your friends, your sister, you know, well, what are you using for birth control and how's that? And I think the conversation, like if you go into a clinic and an OBGYN, you ask for birth control, it's going to be like, well, do you want a pill, a ring, a patch, or an IUD? The conversation is not, do you want hormonal or do you want non-hormonal? Like, it's very hard to have that conversation. And part of the reason is because what is on the non-hormonal menu, right? It's like you got the copper IUD and then you got a lot of barrier methods, basically, right? You know, condoms, diaphragms, whatever. So, and I think now what's exciting is, you know, there is development happening. We just started working with a company that's coming out with a 10-minute painless reversible procedure for men. And
whoa. Okay. Never mind. Disregard.
Yep.
Okay. I knew. Okay. All your skeptics were true. Okay. I knew it was. There we go. I've said. All right. So, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, non-hormonal, but, you know, so that's coming on to the market. It's something called Vasogel, and, it's a very simple procedure, and they hope to have it on the market here by like 2023. There's also, you know, all of these kind of digital versions of like fertility awareness method that come with apps. You know, there's one of them, Natural Cycles, actually has FDA approval as birth control. Another app called Clue has been approved as digital birth control. Now, do I think that, you know, doctors are sitting in their office saying, oh, do you want, you know, this, you know, ring, NuvaRing, or do you want to use this app? No, I don't. But I think that at least, you know, the medical community is accepting fertility awareness method and they're seeing that younger and younger women are more interested in managing their fertility in this way. You know, it does involve some work to do it correctly. You do have to take your temperature every day. You know, there are things that you have to do, just like swallowing a pill.
But Abby, isn't this part of the story where... Like, and because here's the thing, those are not, it's like when I work with clients and maybe they have high blood pressure, they've got high, whatever it is, and they want to try to normalize it. And so it's not, to me, and I think this is important, when it says, well, you could take, you know, Lipitor, or you could change your lifestyle. Like, they're not the same thing. A woman learning about her body, being in tune with her body, learning to feel what she's feeling and becoming, you know, connected to that is wild, you know, and having a normal menstruation cycle, you know, on a regular basis, different for everybody versus a chemical, you know, manipulation of, and it shuts down your ovaries from doing what they're designed to do and giving you a false withdrawal bleed every month. Like this is apples to oranges, right?
Yeah.
And so, and one has a lot. Now, they all, like you said, there's some pros and cons. I use air quotes on that to each of those. Sure, right? One is a learning curve. One is new to you. One is different. One is something you've never heard about before. That doesn't mean it's not effective. I mean, I've read the NFP data. Like it's from a pregnancy, you know, stopping pregnancy, it's as good as any of the other ones. Like, mm-hmm. so you're not, it's not that. And also, sure, yeah, there might be some stuff, like you said, some quote inconveniences that we maybe just have gotten used to. Like we're seeing a lot of this right now in the United States, right? Which is some of the changes, right. You know, like, oh, I never thought I had to, you know, worry about getting formula or gas being $100 a gallon. Yeah. Like, you know, there's like, we like a certain level of comfort and we almost wanted to believe some of those lies, right? So, cause this does get into informed consent. Cause I think if a woman was told what this could do, to them, what it is doing just physiologically, the reality of what those chemicals do, just facts, whether or not, because there was a scene in there where one of the dads said something like, well, my daughter didn't have any symptoms, any side effects. Mm-hmm. And the other dad, I loved it. He's like, time out. You know, like we thought the same thing. But when you start to look at, I mean, it's so classic, migraines, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so many women I know that have migraines. And it's, you know, and when I thought about the pill, I'm like, that makes so much sense because so many times, right, even women that have them, they'll say, oh, it's a hormonal headache. And then I think, well, that's interesting. So then wouldn't it make sense that a pill that is full of synthetic hormones might mess up your hormones, i.e. give you a headache or cause to so many women that I mean, especially in the early 20s to mid to late 30s, so many of them, that same, you know, those childbearing years that are usually on the pill, it's depression. That's the largest group that's on antidepressant, anti-anxiety medications, right? But we've just missed almost we've missed it right in front of us, right? Because we just assumed, well, this pill doesn't do anything other than stop me from getting pregnant, supposedly. And so I wanted to just pause on that because I think that to your point, I want women to know there's wildly effective ways to, of course, you know, manage fertility and natural family planning. But also it's more than that, right? It's learning their body. It's learning how to understand that. I mean, I don't know if what I said is accurate or I don't know a female perspective on that, but being a dad of a daughter, right? I want her to feel the body that she's given is amazing, right? That it's natural to menstruate, that, you know, it's not bad, it's not evil, it's not bad if it's all those different things. Plus, it's a major sign to look at your health, right? You know, to see, is this, how am I doing here? Maybe there are some lifestyle things I need to address. Stress. You know, classic example is women that have challenges with like anorexia, for example, or high-end athletes that train a lot. They'll often stop menstruating because they don't have enough, they have so little body fat, the body literally almost can't even handle a menstruation cycle. Well, that's good to know, you know, right? Yeah. So what do I need to do? What do I need to change in my lifestyle? I mean, I'm sure you do, but what's your take on just, maybe you experienced it, not to put you on the spot here, but as you transitioned off the pill and you became more in tune with your body, like any just anecdotes to that, or what have you learned by women that do that? And there's a lot of grassroots organizations out teaching women this, and you show this in your movie, right? Helping women learn about their body.
Yeah, exactly. And we actually, so you guys know, we just started launching like a new website called More Business of Birth Control. And we're rolling out a 9-part masterclass. It's a body literacy masterclass. And so it has 9 episodes and it really like drops deep into all of these subjects. So, you know, we're definitely providing a place for people to go after they've seen the film, you know, so that they can, you know, if they want to transition off the pill, they can have support doing that. You know, because I think like a lot of things that, you know, I think one of the things, and, you know, we touched on a little bit, is that I think when you are, let's say, put on this medication, even before you're sexually active, right? Or, you know, before you've developed a natural menstrual cycle, because, you know, the menstrual cycle is supposed to be irregular, right? When you start menstruating, it takes a couple years, you know, to really have a regular cycle. So that's normal. You know, you don't necessarily need a pill to regulate a cycle. But because of that, I think what happens is that when, you know, if somebody stays on it for a decade or two and goes off, you know, suddenly it's like you really, like what I've heard so many times described to me is, you know, it's almost like the veil was pulled back. Do you know, it's almost like they were reintroduced to themselves. Wow. And a lot of people you'll hear like, oh my God, I have a sex drive. I didn't think I had one, you know, because another thing the pill does is it binds up all your testosterone. So you're not making any testosterone because your ovaries are shut down. And then any testosterone in your bloodstream is getting sort of bound up. Well, so your,
wasn't
you
there,
know, sex drive yeah, low.
Well, something that was fascinating to me was even the part in there where it talked to you, you made me think of it when you said people that are put on it before they're either sexually active or before they have a serious partner, it actually can change your desires possibly, right? Or who you're attracted to. That, you remember that part?
Yes.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating, but it really makes sense, right? Because part of how we've developed, right, as mammals is we have pheromones, we secrete pheromones. And so that has a lot to do, smell has a lot to do with partner attraction. And what we talk about in the movie is that when you're on hormonal birth control, that whole kind of mechanism is offline. Mm. So you would be attracted to different smelling people. You know, they sort of say maybe you're attracted to like more like feminine sort of caretaker men than more of like the masculine men. So, I mean, there's all sorts of partner disruption. And, you know, we've heard tons of stories of like, you know, women who are with a certain partner and then start hormonal birth control and suddenly they don't have any sexual attraction to that partner.
Or vice versa, right? Have or been on it, get off and wake up and go, who's this guy?
Exactly. Like, exactly. So that happens, you know, so it's really interesting. And one of the things that's sort of infuriating is that when you try to make a movie about these things or write about these things, you know, you get sort of this pushback from the medical community of like, oh, this is anecdata. Mm-hmm. And there are no studies. There are no studies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? Mm-hmm. At this point, it's like we have like, you know, something like depression and the pill. I mean, the correlation has been made, clearly made in several studies, you know? And it's sort of like, It keeps, again, this constant gaslighting going on because it's like, then do the studies.
Yeah.
Like, do the studies. This is obviously a pervasive issue, you know? So do the studies or, you know, look at the Danish studies that are out there that you're not accepting. But it's like they sort of, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. You can't say this problem doesn't exist. It's just anecdotal. Well, guess what? That's all we have is anecdotal.
Yeah, because you won't do the study and you won't publish a study. And you won't listen to us when we come in and tell you. I remember one time my dad had been put on cholesterol pills and it really affected his memory. And this was a couple, you know, almost 20 years ago. And he went in and the doctor and he said, "Hey, I'm really struggling with my memory." And the doctor said, "Well," and my dad goes, "It's ever since I started this cholesterol pill." And the doctor says, "Well, we don't have any evidence to say that that's possible." And my dad said, "You're looking at him, right? Like he's right here, you know." So Abby, we've come to an end of time for you. I know you got to jump, but can I ask you this? So anybody that's listening, we're so excited. We're going to have you in town on Monday, June 20th. We're going to do a viewing of the movie. We're going to do a Q&A with you live afterwards. Can you just implore the person? We're actually going to offer this at no charge to people to come, but like, who needs to come? Bring your daughter, do you bring your midwife, your OB? Like, just who needs to see this movie? Wait. Do you bring your husband?
You darn well better bring your husband, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, Abby.
Yeah. I think I've seen men in the audience. I mean, men are really on fire after this movie, and they just want their wives and their daughters and their sisters and everyone to see it. So yes, I would say bring partners. This is a great movie for couples, you know, young couples. I just heard from a 19-year-old young man who saw the movie and recognized a lot of the side effects in his girlfriend. Who's on one of these products.
Well, we can be supportive, you know? Too, right? Not being like, you know, I just think about the thing, hey, get on the pill. So, you know, right? The men who try to force their partner, right, to get on the pill because they don't want to, whatever, have a baby, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah. It's like, that's important for us to realize what this could be causing.
It's a good word.
You know?
Yeah, good word.
I think it's hugely important. So, yeah, I would say it's a great, like, mother-daughter film. You know, and I think, again, the film is out there not to be alarmist. We absolutely know that hormonal birth control is a part of women's healthcare. It's not going anywhere. We support people having access to it, and we support, you know, everybody making their own decision, mm-hmm. you know, once they have the information to make that decision. So I think it's, you know, it's really out, this film exists to empower, you know, and educate and be like a real starting point of conversation of, you know, look where this has come, the history of this, where we are now, and, you know, hopefully where we might be evolving to. So yeah, I would say, you know, it's probably not a kid's movie. although I did have my 12-year-old come to the premiere, and he ended up playing video games on his phone in the back row.
Abby, I want to say thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I know in the face of all of the pushback that has undoubtedly some, you know, some consequences in and of itself, just of discouragement and so on and so forth. But, and I also want to say something to you. Talked earlier about like the pushback a lot of times and the narrative in the quote unquote social media fights is anecdotal, or they're dismissing, you know, anecdotal. And I think this is why I'm so passionate that men need to be a part of watching these sorts of things too. Even if that were true and that were only true and there was no empirical evidence, I would say, so what? Because the one thing that I have learned, and I've seen this firsthand with my wife, I've seen this with many women, is, man, trust a woman's intuition. I think that there's a lot of women out there who have been taught not to do that, and it's quite unfortunate. And so I think that, you know, a film like yours and the work that you guys are doing is re-empowering women to get to that place. And I think there's something else, something that you said earlier that I thought was really, really beautiful too, was, you know, and speaking of Ricky Lake's story, her hearing positive birth stories. And so that's a beautiful thing too. And I think husbands, I think men need to be aware of the positive birth stories. They need to hear those things from their wives, or they need to hear it, you know, maybe even from a mother that's, you know, preparing them one day for a relationship where they're going to have children and that kind of stuff. And there's something very, very beautiful about that. And there's nobody in the world can take that story away from a mom. And it's such a beautiful thing. And so we would love to see moms tell their stories. And so, you know, maybe somebody's listening to this right now and they don't have words to put, you know, around their own story, but you can share this episode or something, or maybe it will inspire you to, you know, grab a pen and a journal and sit down and kind of talk about your own beautiful birth story, you know, you mamas out there. And so please do that and be a part of that movement, because that is going to be the thing, I think, that's going to, you know, impact the next generation. So Abby, any final words as we close today? Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And our website is just thebusinessofbirthcontrol.com. So if you want more information or want to read more about the film or, you know, hear about our work, you can check it out.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to support the show, give us a 5-star review and share it with your tribe. To learn more about Dr. Ben's work, visit AchieveWellness.clinic.